We're actually going to change our order around a little bit tonight. Normally we do all of our songs in one set at the beginning. Tonight we're going to just do the one and do our sermon, and then we have more songs at the end. And I'll tell you why we're doing that in a little bit. But first of all, some announcements. Remember, next Sunday is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And there's a tradition that Edina Covenant Church has, and they have invited us to partner with them in it, or to participate in what they're already doing. So next week, no service, but it's going to be Thanksgiving dinner. And when they started this tradition, the idea was it's Thanksgiving dinner for the people who are going to be working their tails off the rest of the week. You know, so this is other people serving and blessing, or people who aren't hosting that year are doing the cooking and things like that. If you are able and want to help with the setup, they're looking for people to help set up between 3 and 5, as well as after 7 o'clock, because it'll be 5 to 7, so more or less same time as we meet. They're looking for people to tear down afterwards. And Edina Covenant Church will provide the turkey, the mashed potatoes, and the rolls. And they're looking for people to bring whatever else. And there is a sign-up sheet that we don't have out that I can show you later that has a list of then side dishes that people are bringing. There's a whole bunch of good stuff. There's pies and there's some veggies and something dealing with squash. That one didn't sound very good, but I'm sure it'll be great. Just not a big squash fan myself. So that's coming up next Sunday. So it's going to be different, but it's still going to be really good. And you are invited. Trying to think if we have any other announcements. Remember, keep December 16th on your calendar. Because it's Eric's birthday. And it's an opportunity to serve with loaves and fishes at the Holy Rosary Church in South Minneapolis, or just south of Minneapolis. I'm not exactly sure what neighborhood it would be in, but about 25th and Broadway, I think, is where it is. So that's coming up. I think that's it. Offering. Again, we are in a unique place when it comes to churches. We are still taking offerings, but some of it we can't use yet. If it goes directly to Edina Covenant Church with, like, if it's on a check with the table on the memo, that goes into a pot that we hold on to it. And when we actually get to start as a church, then we have access to those funds. And we would ask you to be giving generously. God has blessed us and has been generous with us. And part of our regular practice is to give back, whether it's the church or other charities, but I invite you to give to the table. One thing that we have asked is if you don't need a receipt that's tax, that you can use on your taxes, if you could give specific gifts for things that we need. We're asking for gift certificates to Trader Joe's and Target and Costco. Those are the places where most of the things that we get that we use on a weekly basis, our consumables. Those are all of our expenses. We run a really, really lean ship for now. And it helps that you guys also help prepare the food, and that lessens our expenses as well. So thank you for all the ways you guys generously contribute. But there's an opportunity back there. And then also, next to the offering plate, there is a vase with stones and gems. As a reminder, that's a visual for us to every week that you read your Bible in between Sundays. We invite you to put a stone in the vase. So all the stones that you see represent time that someone spent in the Word. And the red gem is a Bible verse that you have memorized, a new one. It's getting God's Word hid in our hearts. It's a helpful thing. It's a good practice. And those are things that we do as a community, but we do individually. So that's one way for us to remind each other that those are really good practices. That's an important part of what it means to be at the table. So I invite you to, on your way out, if you haven't already, put a stone or a gem in the vase. Tonight, I thought you were leaving. I thought it was something I said. Tonight at the table, we're going to be talking about worry. I like this definition. A sense of uneasiness and anxiety about the future. You don't worry about things in the past that you may have anxiety, you may have concerns, you may have disappointments, but usually worry is about the future and it's about the unknown. There's a quote that I really like, and for the first time I heard it, it was in the idea of politics. The idea being you can't reason people out of something that they didn't reason themselves into. So if someone just has a belief that they've always held and they don't necessarily know why, you can't necessarily convince them out of it. I don't know that it completely works. But also, there's this idea that most of us don't choose to worry. We just worry. And so hearing Jesus or someone else say, don't worry, probably doesn't help. It probably doesn't help much to just hear, well, don't worry, because we all know that we shouldn't worry and that worry isn't helpful. But to just hear, don't worry, may not be the most helpful thing. So, let's see if we can do something else with this idea of worry and how to not. Our scripture from tonight, or for tonight, comes in Luke chapter 12. Verses 22 to 34. Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish such a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for this passage in Jesus' teaching that may be familiar, may bring us comfort, but it may also sound like, oh, that's just impossible to not be concerned about those things, to not worry about those things. Help us to understand what it might look like and what it might mean to not worry, to seek first the kingdom of God. We'd ask, God, that you would help us to do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my goal for us tonight is not necessarily to worry less. That would be a good goal. But that's not it. It's not just about worrying less. I want you to trust God more. And I think if you trust God more, you will worry less. That's what Jesus says. Look at the birds of the air. They know that they have everything that they need. be like them. And don't worry. I don't know if I'm the right person to preach this sermon. I worry less than anybody else I know. And I don't necessarily know how it got to be that way. But there's also part of me that thinks, well, then shouldn't I be the perfect person to give this sermon? This is how not to worry. I grew up with my dad repeating a phrase often. I think it was a Charles Swindoll quote. And it was, I'm losing it. The gist of it was, you can control some things, you can't control everything. Focus and spend your time on the things that you can't control. Anything out of your control, let it go and trust. And I think that's how it started for me. Is just saying, okay, there are some things that I can control. There are things I can do things about. Other things, I'm not going to stress out about. And for me, that's what it comes down to, you know, how I don't worry. And some of you think, but that just doesn't work. And as I've been thinking about it, there are three reasons people will not worry. One, you don't have an adequate grasp of the things that are facing you. You know, if you have no clue what's coming up next, you're not going to worry. The second, if everything that you're going to be facing is completely in your control. So you know what it is, and you know that you have the capacity, you have the skills, you have whatever it takes to meet those challenges that are coming. Then you don't worry. The third, just know that God is in control. And God will take care of you. I think that's what Jesus is going for. And that's where I want us to go. Because truth is, we need to be aware that there are things that we need. We need to know at least a little bit of what's coming. But we need to trust. We need to trust that God is good. And I find it interesting that never does Jesus confront a person in crisis and say, don't worry. When Jesus tells people to not worry, they're already in a state of not worrying. Because this is one of those things where if someone is in the throes of anxiety, the worst thing you can tell them is, don't worry. What do you mean, don't worry? Because that's an emotional response. You don't think, you know, I'd really like to worry today. These things, I really want to focus on them and I want to obsess over them. It just kind of happens. And so now, when we're calm, when we're rational, we can rationally think about some of these things. And so, what I want you to do is I want you to work on training your mind to respond differently to stimulus. There was once upon a time when you saw the number 2 and the number 3. With like a little T in between them, like 2 plus 3, and you would see that, and that just wouldn't make any sense. But now you see it, and without even having to think anymore, you know that 2 plus 3 equals 5. Thank you. Most of you learned it well. Some of you just need some more time. I want you to have that sort of response when there are things that concern you. When there are things and opportunities for you to worry, I want you to see it, and then I want you to remind yourself of who God is and who you are. What Jesus says, he gave them pictures. Think about the ravens. When you want to worry, think about those birds that you see every day and help them to bring you to the state of mind where you don't have to worry. Think about lilies. When you start to get stressed out about what you're going to be wearing. When you don't have enough clothes. Seasons change and you still don't have your winter boots. Don't worry, God will take care of you. Jesus gave pictures. And so, I have scripture for you. These are verses that as I was looking at them, I thought, these are some verses that might cause people to trust or have faith or be reminded of who God is and who we are in response. And so,
I'm going to actually stop talking, and I'm going to invite you to spend some time with these. And first of all, what I would like us to do is to read our verses out loud. You have 3 to 5 somewhere in there. Look at them, and I want you to read them. Choose a favorite one out of the stack that might speak to you about how to not worry or how to trust. And then if you're willing, I would like for you to read that verse. And so part of what we're going to do is we're going to be sharing verses from Scripture that might help you to not worry, to help you to trust, to be reminded of who God is and who we are in response. And if you don't like any that are in your stack, we're going to make it possible for you to swap. And I would actually like for us to spend some time talking about how... or what causes you to worry, what helps you to not worry. And then I'd also love it if you were able to commit a new verse to memory that could be one of your triggers. You think, okay, you realize that you're starting to worry, you're starting to fret, you're starting to be anxious. And then this verse comes to mind, reminds you who you are and who God is. So for me, in my stack, this one speaks to me. It's John 16:33. It says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Anyone have one that they like and would like to read?
I have Psalm 23:4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me."
Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Have Isaiah 25:7-8. "And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces."
I have Luke 18:1. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart."
Isaiah 26:3. "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you."
Romans 12:12. "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Isaiah 41:13. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you."
Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Psalm 108:12-13. He'll grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. But God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes.
Look at the birds in the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? What?
That sounds familiar.
That does sound familiar. What? Matthew's Sermon on the Mount? Luke's Sermon on the Plain?
Yeah. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock.
Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
Just think what could happen if, when you recognize that you're starting to worry, that that verse comes to mind. When you feel like you're undergoing tribulation. Not an everyday word, but a good word. When you need to be reminded that God is your rock, that this verse would come to mind. I want that for you. I don't want you to worry. And Jesus says, you know, like in mine, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We have in Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, everything that we ever need. Yes, not everything that we want. And it doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Be of good courage. And so I want us to be people who worry less and trust God more. What are some of the things that you worry about? Do you find that you worry a lot? What are things that help you worry? Or help you help you to not worry? So what works for you?
I've spent a lot of time thinking about this week. And I can't help but get emotional about it, because this is an emotional issue. This is fear. It's imagination doing what imagination shouldn't do. It's not being creative in positive ways. It's being creative in destructive ways. And worry and anxiety steals joy. And Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants us to live a life full of trust. And of love and of faith. And part of that is about worrying less. And in my years of training and of things like that, I've been counseled enough to say it's never a good thing to tell someone who's having a feeling, don't feel that way. It's not helpful. We're not in control of our feelings. We are in control of what we do in response. Thank you, God. We are, or we can be, in control of how we respond to the external stimulus, to the things that are happening inside of us. And as followers of Jesus, and as people who call the table our church, I want us to be people who encourage one another. When we see someone else worrying, we do what I just did and what Tom just did. Say, this is something I've been reading and it may be for you. Think about this. And I want us to be people who recognize when we're fretting, so maybe it doesn't take quite as long to say, okay, you know what, I'm worrying. And yes, these are real concerns. And yes, if I don't pay my bills, there will be trouble. But and then we turn our eyes back to God. And we remember who God is. And we remember who we are. that you are precious and loved children of our Heavenly Father. Princes, princesses, daughters, sons of the King of Kings. That's who you are. And God will care for you. And God loves you. God knows what you're going through right now. And He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And He knows what's going to happen on the other side of this trouble. And I want us to remind each other of that. And I want us to be people who have spent time in Scripture, who have these sorts of verses ready to convince ourselves, to remind ourselves, to persuade ourselves, even when we don't think it's true. But because we know it's God's Word, we know it is. And that also, when those people that we love and that we care about and those people that we're sharing Jesus with, when they are worrying, we're able to tell them stories. We're able to sit down and listen to their concerns and then be able to tell them, you know, I don't worry as much as I used to, and it's because I trust in Jesus. And this is what it's looked like in my life. And give them a glimpse that life doesn't have to be consumed with worry. And so, because this isn't primarily a rational issue, it's an emotional one, I want us to sing again. Because there's something about poetry, there's something about music that helps the words get past our rational minds. And so we've picked songs that have to deal with God and who God is and who we are in response. And so I would invite you to sing along. I would invite you also to just spend some time with those verses. And if you want to browse the others, if you want to take yours and pass them down, and if you want to look for one that you really like, I would invite you to spend some time and to memorize a verse before you leave or sometime this week, that you might hide God's word in your heart so that it's there when you need it.